so much. Thank you. All right, Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Thank you. All right, thank you, Steve. Thanks so much. Thank you very much. Acts chapter 27. Amen. You'll get it in a minute. Acts chapter 27. In your Bibles, Acts 27. And I want to thank Brother Douglas for the opportunity to work here and to be a part of the faculty. He's been very kind to me. Brother John, boy, what a dear friend he has been to me. I met him back in 1987. I was a bus worker on his route and roommates. And boy, that was quite a room. Brother John, myself, and Charlie Clark. Got a lot of stories to tell you, but we will not go there. But I thank you for your friendship. Thank you for the City Baptist kids who are here. Sure love you. And how many of you missed the demerits that I would give you? All the times I told you to get a haircut, shave, all that good stuff. And I think they missed me too. Somebody knocked on my class door today, and then I heard them run down the steps. And then I heard one of them go, "Brother D," and in the hallway. So I think that was the basketball team that escaped Coach Cooper. But I accused Brother Snipes of doing that because he's always messing around with me. And he is. That guy's always doing something behind my back. He was excited to know that he was leading the singing today. And I thought, stink, man. He's sitting behind me. He's up to something. But I have my wife here and my daughter. And I don't know if you could stand in the back or just for a moment. And thank the Lord for my wife. I sure appreciate her and the daughter. And, of course, our son is here in his third year of college. But City Baptist kids, let me just say this. I'm so very proud of you. And I've watched you grow. I've watched you endure some things. I've watched you stick it out. So I appreciate you just being here, being faithful. It's an amazing thing. I received a note from one of our graduates who's a freshman this year, and it's hard to believe, but when I got to City Baptist, that individual, this particular class that's here at this moment, they are freshmen. They were sixth grade when I got to City Baptist, and boy, we've seen a lot of things, haven't we? But enjoyed a lot of victory. Thank you again for the opportunity, Brother Douglas, and we're going to get right into it. Acts chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 14. All the way, yep, all right, did that on purpose, to verse 20. So let's try that again. Acts 27, verses 14 through 20. How many of you are ready to hit them right now? All right, okay. Oh, man, that's pretty sad. A lot of hands went up there. How many of you that raised your hand, you really meant that? All right. Okay. Acts chapter 27, that verse, all the way to verse 20. The Bible says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." I'm going to give you two statements. They're a little bit long for you to write down. But the two statements I want to give you, first one is this. Everything you are experiencing right now is preparing you for your future ministry. Your current job, the discipline of getting up, working through tiredness and sickness, finding time to study, loneliness, and I'll even put it this way, ministry highs and ministry lows. The scheduling of all the demands that are set before you, all of these things are there for your experience. They are preparing you for your future ministry. The second statement I want to give you is this. How you handle yourself in these training years, I want you to listen very closely because I really believe this to be true. How you handle yourself in these training years will in some way surface in your future ministry. And I urge you to stay in it and let the Lord lead you and guide you. Our story begins as the Apostle Paul, will pray in just a minute, but he boards a ship heading for Rome. Along with him are many prisoners. Most likely they were heading to their death at the Colosseum in Rome. But despite the numerous obstacles that Paul faced in his ministry, God was going to keep his promise to Paul that he would one day testify of Jesus in Rome. Acts 23 and verse 11, the Bible says, "In the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.'" Not long after they had set sail, it became evident that their journey would be met with great danger. If you'll look at verse 10, the Bible says here, "And said unto them, 'Sirs,'" Paul is speaking, "I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." It's interesting to know that in verse 11, they did not heed Paul's warning. They decided to continue their voyage. In verse 11, the scripture says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Let me just stop here for a moment and say this to you college students. One day, you have your youth right now, and you have your strength, but one day, you will face storms. And right now, it's important to listen to every godly man and woman in this place, every godly man and woman that he's placed into your lives. You know, it's just simply God loving you. When a staff member pulls you aside to say a word or two of encouragement or admonish, that is God's way of loving you, trying to keep you on course. Amen. It's interesting to note as I read this passage here that in verse 11, they did not believe Paul. They did not heed his advice. And let me encourage you, just a thought here. Listen to the advice of your counselors and heed that advice. Make sure that you don't look at yourself as the exception and think, "Well, it won't happen to me," or this is not really a big deal. Always listen to the advice of your counselors. That was just free for you. But not long after, they hit this violent storm known as Euroclydon. Euroclydon was a northeasterly wind that ran violently and without altercation across the Mediterranean Sea. It would be equal to a typhoon or a hurricane today. This great storm caught their ship so suddenly and so violently that they were left to the mercy of the wind's direction. They simply had lost control. They came to the island of Clauda, where they took the precautions that had to be made to undergird that ship. In those days, they would pass ropes underneath the hull of the ship to keep it intact against the rough waters. The Bible tells us that the storm continued on, and they did everything possible to regain control of the ship. Everything from lowering the sails to throwing off the equipment and cargo to lighten up the ship. The Bible teaches us that for many days the sun, moon, and stars had been hidden. And for that reason, they came to a place of hopelessness. But I want you to notice in these next few verses, the Apostle Paul, he had first told them, "Hey, I don't think this is a good idea. We probably shouldn't go forward," but they went ahead anyways. And in between this time, Paul remained silent. When it seemed as though all hope was lost, Paul receives a message from the angel of God, assuring him that although the ship would be lost, the lives of every person on board, all 276 souls, those lives would be saved. The Bible tells us in that same chapter, verse 21 to 25, look at it if you would. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" Notice these words, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." I want to remind you, college students, this morning of the opportunity that we have today. We have an opportunity to go into a lost world, whether it be on a Saturday or a Sunday or any other time during the week. We have a wonderful opportunity to go into a lost world and provide hope. We have a wonderful opportunity to tell somebody about Christ and to provide that light and that direction to someone who is going through a difficult time. I remember several years ago when I was in college, Brother Ray Young preached a message and he continued to say a particular statement. And it goes like this. They, talking about the people out there in our ministry, they need you to need him. And I want to say this to you, that your bus riders and everyone that you have an influence on, it could be a mom or a dad, a brother or sister back home. It could be somebody on your bus route, but they need you to need God. They need you to walk with God. You're the only one in some cases that is able to provide light in a world of darkness. The Apostle Paul, he said this, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Fellas, let me tell you something. One day, when you become a husband and a father, you're going to have to provide light for your family. You're going to have to get along with God and walk with him to provide that light and that direction for your family. They're going to need you to need God. And they're going to need you to provide that direction. Ladies, let me just tell you right now, someday you're going to be a wife. And someday you're going to be a mom. And men and ladies, you're going to be in ministry someday. And there are going to be people out there that need you to need God. I want to encourage you. Believe God. Now that's not the message, but that's all introduction. I want to say this. On the 14th night, they began to sense these shipmen that they were getting near land. Boy, they had had a rough voyage. And through the instruments that were available at that time, they measured 120 feet from land. And then as they got closer, 90 feet. And at that moment, they dropped four anchors into the water. The title of my message is Lessons from the Shipmen. I'm going to give you four thoughts, and then we'll be done. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here, to work here, to minister to these great students. Lord, I thank you for them. So proud to be a part of the college and to be in some way a part of their lives. And Lord, thank you for the wonderful family that I have, and thank you for the wife that I married, that I found here in this place. And you directed me. And I believe, Lord, that you've given me your perfect will, that perfect mate. Thank you for this place. It's provided direction to me and for me. It's provided help and comfort. I've met some of the greatest people in all the world here in this place. And they're my dear friends. And thank you for this opportunity. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit of God. And use me today to be a help. I just want to be used of you. Bless these moments that we share. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at verse 31, if you'll look there very quickly. Verse 30 and 31. The first thing we learn from these shipmen, obviously they have gone through a difficult time, a difficult storm. They've gone through challenging times. And the first lesson that we learn is found in verse 30. The Bible says, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship." Notice these words in verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, here's the words I want you to hold on to. "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." What's the first lesson? The first lesson is this. Number one, they stayed on board. They stayed on board. Out of fear, these shipmen were ready to leave the ship and escape on the boat they had just lowered down. But Paul urged them to stay on board. He was saying, surely, leaving surely would have brought them to their end. And I want to say this, you and I will hit moments in life when fear will set in. Our first reaction is to jump because it's new territory. You don't know how to handle yourself. Let me encourage you this morning, college students, stay on board. When God takes you out of your comfort zone and it seems easier to jump off, better stay on board, because God's got all that you need for the journey. Let me encourage you to stay on board in your walk with God. You know, it's easy to get busy and to skip that time with God in order to meet the demands of the day. But you have to learn. You have to learn how to get alone with God and pray about everything. I love that song. I won't sing it for you, but just keep on praying. Maybe you're thinking about something right now, a great burden, a great mountain in front of you, and you're not sure how to get through it. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise.
His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. I want to encourage you this morning. Stay on board in your walk with God. Stay on board in your time here in college. Well, I know it's tough. And I wondered, as I've taught many of you this year, did I look that tired when I was in college? And the answer is absolutely. I'm sure I did. And Brother Fish has reminded me many times on Tuesday morning, Brother Jesse, please keep your voice down. I have students in my class that are trying to sleep. And that's a good one, man. That's timeless. That's just funny every time I think of it. And how many of you wish your teacher would keep it down so that you had the opportunity to sleep? But all right. And stay on board in your time here at college. Just keep on going. Let me encourage you, just keep on going. God is working. God is working. On top of that, don't undo in doubt. Don't undo in doubt what God has given you in the light. You know, I came to Bible college here in 1987, and very quickly, I was a very shy college student. I mean, literally, I lived in Rice 3, and literally I would go down, the lower area, the basement, and the areas where there wasn't traffic, and I would go down there just to get to my class that was over here. My head was down most of the time. I did not want to see anybody. I didn't want any interaction. But I tell you what, I joined the bus ministry. I remember getting in the bus ministry, and I didn't even want to be on the bus. A lot of times I'd stand outside the bus trying to look pretty, and all the kids on the bus crammed in and getting sandwiches, rubbed into my jacket and things along that line, and cheese, from the Cheetos being rubbed on my arm. Anybody, if that's ever happened to you? But the truth of the matter is, I was having a difficult time those first few weeks. Very, very shy. But, when I got involved in the bus ministry, God began to do a work in my heart. God began to change me. It wasn't long before I was leading a program. Brother John remembers this. And it was just Brother John and myself. He had just gotten approved to drive. And so we're driving down Augusta Boulevard. And as we're going down Augusta Boulevard, getting ready to catch the whatever it was, the highway, freeway, whatever you want to call it, Brother John is driving. He said, lead a program. And I'd only been, on the bus route about 4 or 5 weeks and seen others lead a program. But, I was a little bit slow, and I just probably wasn't paying attention as much as I should. I got up, and you might laugh at this. I only say it because I think I'd get a laugh out of it. I got up and said, all right, if you love Jesus, say amen. And all the kids, amen. I said, let's sing Victory in Jesus. He remembers that. Brother John's driving. They don't know that. And what an idiot, man. I mean, not him, but me. I didn't know what to sing. Not you. I really did. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I remembered, knock, knock, rattle, 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 honk, beep, beep. If you don't know that, I'll teach it to you later. Crayon box song. I mean, all these things started to come back to me. I was put on the spot. I remember I had a habit, I guess, and I think I've gotten the victory over it, most of it, but of imitating people. And I think my division leader thought, man, Jesse, he's kind of funny. He could do this, And hey, my division leader came to me one day. We were having some teen activity. He said, with intensity, he looked at me and said, I need you to do a skit to promote this activity. I thought, okay. He goes, you got 15 minutes. It had better be funny. And I thought, man, 15 minutes, how can I be funny on command? Different challenges and different things like that. It brought me out of my shell. But, I remember that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, man, I've had some bad days on the bus route. I've had some difficult times in college already, difficult times in ministry. Let me just encourage you to stay on board. I lost myself. I remember my last night when we were heading out to California in a few days, and was finishing my bus route and dropping off our night riders, and this little boy who's now an adult man, obviously, it's been many years. I remember he would not let go of me, and I remember having to say goodbye to him and his family. I remember my first year in college when we were in front of Roberto Clemente High School. And that's where our night buses all gathered. And after my first year of college, You know, I really didn't want to be on the route those first few weeks. I was having a hard time. But I remember just bawling and weeping because I was going home for the summer, thinking about those kids. They had an impact on my life. How many of you would say, you thought you were having an impact on them, but man, they've had an impact on you. And the truth of the matter is, you don't get that unless you stay on board. Stay on board in your walk with God. Stay on board in your time here at college. Let's look at the second lesson. Look at verse 32. The Bible tells us, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. The Bible tells us these men had not eaten for many days, and now Paul urges them to eat because they needed strength for the days ahead. Let me say this, each time God's word is opened, there comes an opportunity to take in spiritual food. Sometimes the truth doesn't always sit well with us because of our sinful nature, but it confronts our sin, but it is for our benefit. There's two reasons why we should eat. Number one, we need strength for today. Strength for today. You know, God has something for everyone at this very moment. I'm grateful. I think about the night buses that I was on. Amen. And I'm sure grateful for every message that was preached. Those messages molded me. They challenged me. They changed me. And they chided me. Many times getting off a night bus and shaking my division leader's hand and thanking him. And then going into the college and picking up my face at the south hallway desk. That was funny. But realizing, man, I needed that. I needed that. I think about Brother Hiles. He preached many sermons that I can recall, but one in particular, I think it was back in 1992. Yes, a long time ago. And he preached this message, the title, Now is the Time. This is the place, and we are the people. Boy, how that moved me and motivated me and stirred me. I think about 1989 of pastor school, and Dr. Treiber preached a message, and he prayed again, how God spoke to my heart and challenged me. And I think even up to current times, when we had first moved back here, when Pastor Wilkerson back in 2013 preached from Acts 16, come over into Macedonia and help us. God was dealing in my heart. You know, what I'm saying this morning is I'm grateful for every message because it was spiritual food that helped me for the day. Not only should we eat to get strength for today, but strength for tomorrow. I hope you'll listen to me. I remember many times Brother Hiles challenging us to take the truth, even if we didn't need it at that very moment, but to take that truth and tuck it away because one day we would need that. And let me say this to you. You have your youth, you have your health, and there may be a message that you think in your heart, I don't think I need this right now, but you will need that someday. Amen. Let me challenge you to do that. Number three, let's look at verse 37. We have to go quickly. The Bible says here, number one, we saw that they stayed on board. Number two, we learned that they ate and were glad. Boy, imagine 14 days without eating. They were pretty happy to have some food in their bodies and gain strength. And you and I need that strength for the day. Number three, quickly, verse 37. The Bible says, and we were in all the ship 276 souls. 276, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rubber bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. The third lesson we learn is they sailed out in faith. They sailed out in faith. They listened to Paul by staying on board, and after fasting for several days, they took Paul's advice and ate. And then they found that their strength was restored. Now they were facing their biggest challenge. The Bible tells us that they lightened the ship and they cast the remaining wheat into the sea. They took up the anchors and made preparation for the final part of this journey. No doubt these men were preparing for the worst as they sailed out, but they sailed out anyway in faith. Let me remind you today, college student, that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Pastor said a few weeks ago, and I love that statement because it's so true, and every staff member here that graduated from our college knows it to be true, that all over this campus, all over this place, miracles have been met. Prayers have been met. You need to find a place, college student. Find a place you can get alone and walk with God and talk to Him. Take your burdens to Him. And they went out in faith. Let me encourage you to sail out in faith. When the burdens get heavy, don't ask for the weight to be lifted, but ask God for strength to bear the load. The common denominator for every great work has always been faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. George Mueller said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Notice these words, faith begins where man's power ends. Let me give you three quick thoughts here. You had faith to start the work. Now have faith to stay in the work, and have faith to finish the work. Let me give you this last thought. Same chapter, verse 41 to 44. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, all safe to land. The Bible tells us that these waves came when the two seas met, caused the ship to run aground. At that moment, the bow stuck fast. But the hinder part of the ship was broken into pieces. Those that could swim, they swam, all safe to land. But those who could not hung onto boards and broken pieces of the ship. For most of you right now, you have your strength. You have your youth. You can swim. But there will come a time in your life when the only thing that you can do is hang on. And the Bailey family has been on my heart ever since we heard this news. And, you know, I want to say this to you. It's difficult to wrap our brains around things like this. They're going to need our prayers. They're going to need our support. They have God's grace. But I'm going to tell you something. There are times, and there will be times in your life, you don't want to think about it. I understand that. But you're going to have to hang on. I'm going to give you some things as we close. Why do we preach the way we preach? One pastor said this, to keep your ship from breaking apart. Why do we preach the way we preach? Another one said, to help you when your ship does break apart. I'm grateful for the promises of God, because hanging on to them in these dark, in sometimes the darkest of hours and darkest of moments, has kept me safe. Some things you ought to hang on to. And we'll close. Hang on to every promise of God. Hang on to your passion for winning lost souls. Hang on to the possibilities of where God can take you. Hang on to the practice of living a separated life. Hang on to that spirit of praise that you have right now, and take that all the way through your life. Hang on to His power and His presence. Hang on to good old-fashioned preaching. Hang on to the preserved Word of God. And hang on to the priority of prayer. Just hang on. The Bible says they all made it safe to land. How'd they do that? They stayed on board. College student, will you stay on board? They all ate and were glad. Every chapel message that you hear, take it. It's God's way of loving you and helping you. Thirdly, they sailed out in faith. You're going to have moments where you're going to get to some uncharted waters, and you're going to have to just go by faith. You don't know what the Lord's doing or how He's leading. I like what Brother Cox, Daryl Cox, said to me many years ago. You can't always trace God, but you can always trust God. They sailed out in faith. And lastly, they hung on. One day, we'll be in God's presence. And I'll tell you this, if you and I will do these things, when we stand before Him, you'll be glad you stay faithful. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.